This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Starting off with commodities from yesterday, all commodities traded higher across the board with the exception of December wheat. Soybeans continued their climb, almost 30 cents from where they finished on Monday. And we'll jump right into closing commodities from yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade. For December corn, it finished at 360 and a half, up 4. March corn finished at 373 and a quarter, up 4 3/4, and May finished at 380 and a half, up 4 3/4. On to beans, they keep climbing. January, 890 and a half, up 15 cents. March was at 409 and a quarter, up 15 cents, and May finished at 917 and a half, up 14 3/4. On to wheat, December finished at 497 and a half, down 4. March finished at 511 and a half, up 5. And May finished at 519, up 6 3/4. Moving on to soybean meal for December, it finished at 307.90, up 30 cents. January finished at 310.30, up 32 cents. And March finished at 313.30, up 33 cents. Soybean oil for December finished at 27.73, up 57 cents. January soybean oil finished at 27.98, up 59 cents. And finally, March soybean oil finished at 28.24, up 59 cents. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the latest cash grain reports.
This is Wednesday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Wednesday afternoon. Optimism over the U.S.-China trade resolution at the G20 summit in Argentina and an expected export sale rallied soybeans for another day. In northern western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher, 322 to 347. Soybean bids were up 15 to 16 cents at 818 to 840. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 5 to 6 cents higher, 323 to 350. Soybean bids were up 15 cents at 815 to 865. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 4 to 6 cents higher, 326 to 359. Soybean bids were up 16 cents at 823 to 854. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 15 to 23 cents at 851 to 876. Basis is steady to 8 higher at 40 under to 15 under the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at 287.90 to 302.90 a ton, up $3 a ton, with basis unchanged at 20 under to 5 under the December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 4 cents higher at 341 to 361, with basis unchanged at 20 under to option to December. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 2 to 5 cents higher at 339 to 359, with basis mixed at 22 under to 2 under the December. Soybeans ended up 12 to 15 cents at 842 to 854, with basis steady to down 3 at 49 under to 37 under the January. New crop wheat prices were 7 cents higher at 491 to 501, with basis unchanged at 35 under to 25 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 372 to 373. These elevators raised their soybean prices 15 cents, with quotations at 872 to 873. Soft wheat closed steady at 523 to 524, and Milo ended the day up 4 cents at 360 to 361. Contract bids for producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 328 to 355, soybeans at 814 to 846. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 333 to 356, soybeans at 827 to 870. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 338 to 369, soybeans at 832 to 866, and June, July wheat at 482 to 522. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your closing livestock numbers from yesterday on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, live cattle finished mixed with December finishing at 116.77, up 7, February finished at 120.55, down 5, and April finished at 122.40, down 17. on to feeder cattle. They all finished lower. January finished at 147.70, down 72. March finished at 145.35, down 65. And April finished at 145.82, down 57. On to lean hogs, they were mixed as well. December finished at 57.95, up 7. February finished at 64.50, down 55. And April finished at 70.07, down 50. We'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield again for the latest cash livestock report.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon's livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 26 cents higher in a range of $45 to $50.74 with the weighted average carcass price of $49.59. From the Illinois Direct Sale Report, slaughter sale prices were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 26 to 30, 4 to 500 pounds at 30 to 37, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 41, over 600 pounds at 36 to 44. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrels and guts at the country buying points were steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from 29 to 36. Receipts for Illinois barrels and guts totaled 26,566. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $111 to $116.75 and on a dress basis traded at $180 to $185. Heifers on a live basis traded at $112 to $116 and on a dress basis traded at $183. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 363 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $67.74, which was 53 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcasses are $213.28, which was 72 cents lower, with select carcasses at $198.50, which was $1.74 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at $120,000 compared to $118,000 for last week, and $119,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at $477,000 compared to $478,000 for last week and $458,000 for 1 year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
For your news here in Part 2, Monday, the last Illinois Crop Progress and Condition Report was released for 2018. The report shows that there were 2.8 days suitable for field work during the week ending November the 25th. Statewide, the average temperature was 38.5 degrees, 1 degree below normal. Precipitation averaged 43 hundredths of an inch, 27 hundredths of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 2% short, 72% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 8% short, 78% adequate, and 14% surplus. Sorghum harvested was at 94% compared to the 5-year average of 97%. Winter wheat emerged was at 86% compared to 95% last year. Winter wheat condition was at 6% very poor, 8% poor, 32% fair, 49% good, and 5% excellent. This is the final weekly crop progress and condition report for 2018. Monthly reports will be released January through March, with weekly reports resuming in April 2019. And with majority of all the crops in the bin, it may be a while before any of it would get sold, because each Friday over the past 3 weeks, December corn futures closed lower. These lower weekly thresholds have come despite very good export pace. Todd Gleason has more from the University of Illinois.
USDA projects this marketing year, U.S. corn exports will top 2.4 billion bushels. So far, that doesn't look too bad, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs.
We're definitely on pace, well above last year's pace, but everybody needs to remember we got off to sort of a sluggish start last year and really picked up in the second half of the marketing year. That sort of carried into this market here. We've seen a little bit of weakness recently, but we're still well within the range of 2.45 billion bushels, in my opinion.
Well, Hubbs is okay with USDA's corn used to produce ethanol figure 2, although he says that'll depend on ethanol exports as plant margins are really tight. He's hopeful the corn used for feed number will look better in January. That'll depend a lot on the December grain stocks report. Still, he says,
right now, from the November projections, we are on track. Now, there's a lot of uncertainty left in that. But when we look at the weakness we've seen in corn prices over the last few weeks, it's definitely related to soybean prices and the bearishness in the oil market. And I think both those things are sort of holding down corn prices.
Not that if those two items were solved, corn would rally substantially. It would come up, but still be capped by the available supply. And some thought that USDA's export target is a bit robust. Todd Hubbs thinks of it this way. The market has done a good job of front-loading U.S. corn exports, and it's very unlikely the second half of the 2018-19 marketing year will be a repeat of last season's stellar pace. I'm Todd Gleason.
With the 2018 harvest in the books, farmers are focusing on finalizing their seed selection and other management decisions for 2019. Michael Clemens has this report.
Phil Jennings, service manager for Kinsey Manufacturing, says planter technologies should be an important part of the planting process to help maximize yield performance.
You know, combine time during harvest gives us a real view of the past season decisions that we've made, and that perspective really highlights the importance of the planter technologies used for placement of seed and the spacing of the seed that we did this last spring. It's really exciting for us here at Kinsey, because we're advancing planter-specific technologies for the 2019 season that are truly going to help maximize productivity, yield, and profitability.
Jennings says for 2019, Kinsey is introducing several new planter technologies that offer advanced operating and monitoring functions, combined with ease of use.
Here at Kinsey, we're excited to bring our Blue Vantage display out. It effectively gives us a display with the latest technology, but it only takes 3 clicks to plant. So I can get in the cab and I can just go plant corn. It has a very comprehensive diagnostic screen and Ethernet communication on the planter for fast and reliable communication to all those components. Our Blue Drive electric drive system is a companion to the Blue Vantage display. It's integrated with it. It gives us individual electric drive row control so that each individual meter can turn and give us the turn compensation for equal spacing on each row as we go around contours.
Jennings says a third new technology helps ensure proper seed depth.
Kinsey's introduction to the hydraulic depth control, call that our Kinsey True Depth. It is an active down and up force system with load lengths on every row. It also gives guys the opportunity to put this on their split row applications if they would like. It's a very simple, quick reacting system.
Jennings says these new technologies are available on certain Kinsey 4900 and 3660 planter models for the 2019 planting season. For more information, contact your Kinsey dealer or visit Kinsey.com. Michael Clements reporting.
Moving on to local news here on a Thursday morning. Tuesday night at the monthly Montgomery County Farm Bureau board meeting, Farm Bureau manager Katie Wilson caught up with some special guests from two local fire departments. Captain Curtis Glover and Fireman David Rogers of the Litchfield Fire Department explain how the new grain bin rescue equipment that the Farm Bureau and Cargill donated to them will be beneficial in potential future rescues.
I'm Katie Wilson, manager for Montgomery County Farm Bureau, bringing you a report. We'll start off by talking to Captain Curtis Glover. Curtis, you're at a Farm Bureau meeting tonight because you just received a pretty cool donation thanks to some help from Farm Bureau and Cargill. So tell us a little bit about that and what it means to the fire department.
So a little while ago, the Litchfield Fire Department had an incident where we responded to a gentleman stuck in a grain bin, which we used mutual aid to acquire a grain bin rescue tube. That opened our eyes to start looking to get in our own. After meeting with members of the Farm Bureau, they advise us of a charitable organization that helps donate things to the communities like that. Through Cargill and the Farm Bureau, we have acquired one of the grain bin rescue tubes to assist Litchfield in any grain bin rescues in the future. We're glad to have that tube and very appreciative from Cargill and the Montgomery County Farm Bureau for assisting in supplying that tube to the Litchfield Fire Department.
grain bin rescues. I guess it's something that's a reality. Do you see it a lot? I know we hear about it sometimes, but it's not happening every day, I guess, and we pray that it doesn't. But how often does this occur, maybe in Litchfield's jurisdiction for the fire department?
Not very frequently. In about the last 10 years that I've been employed at the fire department, there's only been one incident that I responded to myself. But when that does happen, it's kind of a unique situation where without a grain bin rescue tube, your hands are kind of tied in assisting the individuals there. So with the tube, it takes care of all the obstacles that come with somebody stuck in the grain.
So we've got a firefighter from Litchfield with us also, David Rogers. David, how does the grain bin rescue tube make your job easier, or why was it so important for the department to ask for help in getting one of these tubes?
Just due to the nature of the fluidity of the grain inside grain bins, the limited access, the atmosphere that these incidents would take place, we're very limited in the equipment that we can get in there, any type of operation that we conduct. These grain bin rescue tubes are specifically designed to be used inside grain bins, and without them, our hands are pretty tied, like Captain Glover said. There's not a whole lot of options, and this is the best option that they have out there these days.
Do you have any sort of training that would prepare you for a situation like that if you had to rescue someone from a grain bin?
Yes, absolutely. As soon as we received the grain bin rescue tube, we watched the videos. We familiarized ourselves with it in the truck bay, and then we actually went to an elevator on Tyler Street there in Litchfield. We used some of their free-flowing grain that they had out in an open pit. We got to play with it in actual corn. We put it together. We actually stuck some people in the corn, got them out, just simulated real rescues. It worked tremendously, and we learned a few lessons and really prepared ourselves for the real thing. Additionally, we also bought some rope rescue stuff that we would use it with, and we've tried to think of any scenarios and any possibilities that we could use either the grain bin rescue tube, and we've practiced and kind of prepared for it.
And that was Montgomery County Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson with Curtis Glover and David Rogers of the Litchfield Fire Department. Later on this afternoon, we'll have more interviews with the Farmersville Wagner Fire Department about how the grain rescue tube is benefiting their department. That's all we have for this Thursday morning. This is Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.